For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, that's not fair.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
David Lombardi's going to be here in a sec. In the meantime, I thought I'd throw this at you. This is completely random. But I stumbled into this last night, doing the Fox thingamajig there. And we're talking about all kinds of football. We went through all the divisions. And we're just like, question and a comment for every division.
You and Ephraim Salam?
Yeah, and it ended up being really fun because we got to talk about literally almost every single team in the whole NFL. And we got to the AFC North, which is a wild division. They all had a winning record last year. Lamar was the MVP. The other three teams all had quarterback problems. And you could argue that at least two of them still do. One of my questions for the division was, who's the quarterback in Pittsburgh? We don't know. But go over to Cleveland for a second, and we're talking about their situation. And I go, you know what about the Cleveland Browns? Deshaun Watson has become the Andrew Wiggins of the NFL. He is wildly talented. And you want him to be so much better than he is. But sometimes he looks like he's just kind of coasting, and it's frustratingly not what you want it to be. And he is often unavailable, but always for mysterious reasons that you don't know. Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
He's the Andrew Wiggins of the NFL.
Wow. That's a pretty good comp. I mean, for obviously different reasons, different personal challenges, shall we say, to put it as gently as we possibly can. But yeah, we don't know. We know than we do about Andrew Wiggins.
Right.
But the talent is off the charts and the results aren't so much.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We circle back to a bunch of stuff around the league coming up in a little bit. And included in all that, in fact, later on this hour, I wrote a eulogy for the San Francisco Giants.
Man, too soon?
No, not at all. Eulogy.
But what about the math?
Rest in peace.
Okay.
We'll get to that a little bit later. Right now, our buddy David Lombardi is here on the River Islands guest line. The Athletic, covering the 49ers like no one else. David, thank you for coming on. Why did you say that this was like the most spirited practice of the of camp so far?
I don't think I said that, but it was a spirited practice.
Okay.
It was one of those longer ones they've had. I mean, every once in a while they'll go long, and those ones tend to be the most competitive because the guys get most sick of each other. So today they have 2 weeks until the regular season starts, so they can still go long and then dial it back next week to get some rest. So there were a lot of nice plays made going in both directions today. And Fred Warner, he always is yapping out there on the field. You could always hear him. So that was happening today from the defensive side. But then the offense made some really, really nice plays as well. And the sideline was getting into it after the nice plays from the offense. So I just thought it was competitive. It went back and forth. And, you know, it typically is on the long days of practice that we've seen the most spirited enthusiasm, right? And I think today was one of those days.
How many more of these type of days are they going to have between now and the opener 2 weeks from now?
Well, today was the last one with the full roster, or at least most of it. They cut five guys before practice. They went from 90 to 85. So they've got to make, what, 32 more cuts before 1 p.m. tomorrow? There's not practice tomorrow. It's cut down day. And then they'll sign their practice squad as well. So they'll come back out there with a different sized roster on Wednesday and Thursday, and then it's Labor Day weekend. And then, you know, I'm guessing they're already game planning and implementing some stuff for the Jets now, since training camp is in the rearview mirror, but they go into full game week mode next week. So if there's any chance of a long competitive practice happening one more time or two more times, it's going to be Wednesday and Thursday, although I would suspect that this one was probably the longest that we'll see of the week.
David, I'll ask it to you this way. We obviously need to get an answer with regard to these two holdout players, hold in, whatever you want to call them. The preseason is now over. The game is 2 weeks from tonight. We're getting down to brass tacks. What is your level of surprise that both of these situations remain in flux?
Nothing really surprised me with Brandon Ayuk, because that's been so unpredictable. I'll be very surprised if we don't have firm movement on the Trent Williams front this week, though. I've always thought, okay, mid-August to a little bit later August, that's the bulk of training camp. Williams, obviously, is one of the players that doesn't really need camp, and maybe, in fact, he benefits from having a fresher body at age 36. But at some point, you do need to start developing that football callus. You do need to get a few practices at least under your belt before you play a real game. And we know how important Williams is to Brock Purdy and the 49ers at that left tackle position. I mean, right now they don't have Aaron Banks in there either. He broke his pinky. They hope to have him back by week one, but that means the entire left side of the offensive line has been backups. And I think you could tell against the Raiders on Friday. It's been Nick Zakel started at the left guard position. They're filtering Ben Barch in there as well. And then at left tackle, it's been Jalen Moore. But Trent Williams, arguably the best player in the NFL, a huge part of this football team. The 49ers need to figure something out on that front. And as of right now, yeah, I'm surprised that it hasn't had any movement yet. But, I would be really shocked if they can't at least show some tangible progress by the end of this week.
Which would give him time to come in next week and be ready for the opener 2 weeks from today. The Brandon Ayuk one, David, I'm kind of with you as far as the ongoing puzzlement of it. Are you getting any sense that negotiations are ongoing, or are we at a stalemate spot where Brandon Ayuk and the team just aren't moving any closer to resolution?
Well, I mean, it definitely had seemed that they're moving closer based on some of the stuff that I had heard about, what, a week ago or so. It's hard. You kind of lose track. It's all the days blurred together. But there had been progress. It obviously hadn't gotten to the finish line. And, you know, now we're sitting here with CeeDee Lamb having signed the contract with the Cowboys. That should give some more parameters. Now, the Brandon Ayuk situation it's always been a funkier one, because he is not at the same level of, like, volume as CeeDee Lamb or Justin Jefferson, right? The 49ers had an offense where they were distributing the ball more to other players, so the raw target numbers and the raw catch numbers weren't the same. The usage numbers weren't the same, in the pass game at least, for Brandon Ayuk. That being said, his efficiency numbers were better than both of those receivers. So I think for that reason, it's been a tougher needle to thread for the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk's camp, but it's also been probably for other reasons, and it's just been really, really hard to put a finger on it. But it's been a very unpredictable contract negotiation. So, the winds had been blowing in the right direction toward a deal as recently as last week, and right now I'm just kind of getting radio silence again. So that remains as unpredictable as ever, but I do know that the 49ers have wanted to get something done.
David and David Lombardi with us. Real quick on that front, because of the calendar, you know, teams are now, most of them, less than 2 weeks out from an actual game. Is a trade of Brandon Ayuk still on the table? Is it still a possibility?
I haven't heard anything ruled out by the 49ers. Every single bit of messaging, and this has been publicly, even in a press conference from the team, is that everything is still on the table. I just think that when we look at the situation, you know, rationally from, okay, what's best for the 49ers, both in the short term and the long term, but while also emphasizing that the short term has probably outsized importance right now for the team because they're trying to win the Super Bowl this year, just given the context of everything that's happened in the past 5 years. It seems to me that the best possible solution for the 49ers would be to re-sign Brandon Ayuk and get after it. Now, I think that there's an argument to be made that's the best possible solution for Brandon Ayuk as well. But the question is that what's the happy spot financially? And then are there, you know, hurt feelings to smooth over? Because it obviously hasn't been the smoothest negotiation. So, I mean, that's all I have for you, really, in this situation. It's been very unpredictable. It's taken a lot of twists and turns, and everything has been on the table, as we've learned over the course of the past 3 or 4 weeks. But Ayuk remains a 49er, and the status quo is the status quo.
How did Pearsall look today?
He was moving really smoothly, but I don't think there was ever a question about how well he'd move, because the lower body is healthy right now. It's the upper body. It's the shoulder that has been the injury. Partial dislocation of his shoulder. It kept him out for about 3 weeks. He was in a blue non-contact jersey. It's the left shoulder, so he had a supporting sleeve on that left shoulder. And, you know, this happened to Pearsall his junior year of college, and then it happened in OTAs and again at the start of camp. So the 49ers are taking a step back because it happened twice within a relatively short period of time. And they're, you know, obviously they don't want to go to surgery because that would sideline Pearsall for much longer. So they feel that they can get this shoulder right by slow playing his return. Part of the slow play is returning to practice, but in a non-contact jersey. When does he take that jersey off is the next question, because I feel that that presents the next test for the shoulder, which Shanahan has said was tender. So they feel that, you know, obviously if it's still tender, then there's a risk of an injury relapse there. So maybe by next week he's out of that blue non-contact jersey, and then they could see if he could be active for week one against the Jets.
And will that determine, at least in some small part, what they do wide receiver-wise with the roster cut down? Or do you think they have a good idea of the five or maybe the six receivers that they're going to keep tomorrow at 1 o'clock?
If they believe that they can manage this Pearsall situation in the short run, right, without surgery or, you know, having to do something that would involve the injured reserve, if they firmly believe that, and it sounds to me like they do, then no, it shouldn't affect how the 53-man roster is constructed. I think that the most efficient grouping for the 49ers is six wideouts, and this is assuming that everything is taken care of with Brandon Ayuk, but it's Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall, Jacob Cowing, and Chris Conley. That group of six wide receivers would be extremely beneficial for the 49ers, because this is a team that has obviously a really crowded roster, so you want as much efficiency as possible. That group of six receivers gives you your punt returner, because I think Jacob Cowing is going to win that job. He's looked really good there. And it also gives you your top gunner in Chris Conley, who was a star in that role in the Super Bowl. So if you can get two key special teams roles out of a group of six wide receivers, that's real efficiency in building a roster, and I think that's what the 49ers would prefer at cutdown day.
David Lombardi, The Athletic, with us here on Willard and Dibs. David, this is a little crystal ballish, but you've also been watching it now for a little while in some form. Let's say there's no Ayuk and no Trent on week one, which I know the Trent thing is very probable, but how have they looked without those guys?
It's so hard to tell on a team-wide basis, because they're not trying to play complementary team-wide football. Even in the preseason, it's you're treating these games more as practice. So I can tell you, you know, what the individual positions have looked like, but as a team, it's really tough to tell the net impact. I mentioned a little bit earlier that the left side of the offensive line against the Raiders did not look as good as it needs to look for the 49ers to push this forward all the way to a Super Bowl. And that's also in part because you're on a backup at the left guard position. So the entire left side of the offensive line isn't what the 49ers would ideally want at this time. It's so hard to find an offensive tackle that is an above average player, you know, above replacement player in this league. That's, I think that you, it's almost mandatory at this point, just given the way that the position has gone, given the way that, you know, how we've seen the proliferation of athleticism at edge rusher. Those who have the offensive tackles have to block. It almost seems like you need a high draft pick to get that done. And the 49ers haven't had that. So the drop off from Trent Williams to, who's next, and that's Jalen Moore, is significant. Now, as far as Ayuk goes, he's excellent as far as beating man coverage. He's a really good separator. So obviously without him on the field, it's tougher to generate separation offensively. But again, it's hard to judge that, you know, what kind of impact it has on the totality of the offense, because guess who else has been out over the course of almost all of training camp? That's Christian McCaffrey. And he's going to be back, but he's a huge space generator for this offense. So it's hard to isolate those two variables because they're both out right now. But I think, like, on an individual level, you know, obviously the 49ers are hurt by both of those absences, and I think that the Trent Williams one is the more glaring absence right now.
And the offensive line in totality has been a little bit patchwork, but Dominic Pooney's been great stepping in at right guard. Do you imagine that he will not be the only rookie who starts the game here in their all 22?
I think, well, that's tough. It depends what formation they start with, but I think Jacob Cowing, for example, is going to see a lot of time for the 49ers from the get-go, right, from week one. He might be the starting punt returner, and, you know, he's built more sturdy. He's not big guy, but he's more sturdy than Ray McCloud was, so I see perhaps a more complete offensive role for somebody like Jacob Cowing, who's got that great burst. And on the defensive side of the ball, you know, today at practice, George Odom was out. He rolled his ankle during the pregame warmups of 49ers Raiders, and then he only played on the opening kickoff before they yanked him. So Malik Mustafa started. Shanahan said that the injury is not serious and they expect Odom back soon, but since he did miss practice, Malik Mustafa was in there alongside Jair Brown as well. And he had a really nice pass breakup against George Kittle. And that was with Brock Purdy throwing the ball. It was just a clean pass breakup. And it was an eyebrow-raising play. And we've seen a lot of those eyebrow-raising plays from Malik Mustafa. So I think that he's a guy that is just going to force his way onto the field sooner rather than later for the 49ers. So it's him and it's Cowing that are the two rookies that I'm looking at right now.
David, are you predicting a Brandon Allen trade to the Tennessee Titans?
No, but I just figure that Brian Callahan really, really likes Brandon Allen, and obviously they just let go of Malik Willis, so they have an open quarterback spot, and if Brandon Allen were available right now, like just available, like on the street right now, I think that he'd get scooped up by Tennessee. So it's a question of, you know, how badly would the Titans want, how badly would Brian Callahan want to bring Brandon Allen aboard, and if it's badly enough, and if the 49ers are comfortable with having Tanner Mordecai as their third quarterback, and I don't know the answer to either of those two questions, then yeah, maybe Tennessee would be willing to offer a draft pick to the 49ers. And if, you know, all those conditions are met, and if, especially if the 49ers are comfortable with Mordecai, then that might be a deal they'd be willing to make. But I'm not, definitely not predicting it. I just know that one of the conditions in place for that to happen is there, because Brian Callahan has coached Brandon Allen before as the OC of the Bengals, but for a trade to happen at this point, like, three conditions have to be met, which is why they're not all that common.
David Lombardi, The Athletic. Hey, before you run, Manti Te'o goes on Good Morning Football and says the 49ers look emotionally drained. How would you describe their emotional state?
It's tough coming off of what they've come off of over the past 5 years, obviously, but I don't know how, you know, anybody could really make that judgment until we see a game. You know, I think the 2014 49ers season, after they had been through so much heartache over 2011, 2012, and 2013, once the regular season started and you saw them play a few games, I know the opener against the Bears is where they blew that lead. Yeah, I think you could fairly start to say that they looked emotionally drained, but it's the true emotions of football. come out on game day, right? And everybody's trying to read so far into every single practice. It's just not really fair. I mean, there were times last year when I remember people saying the same thing about the 49ers during training camp, saying, oh, yeah, it doesn't look like this team has any juice left. I'm getting weird vibes from this team. And they came out 5-0, and they ended up dominating the NFC and dominating their way back to the Super Bowl. So all those reads were way off the mark. I just think that you can't really judge this stuff until the regular season hits. You know, we're all missing football, right? We're all missing real games. So there's this temptation to just make these sweeping judgments on a team's emotional state or how good a team will be. But the truth is, we don't really know until they actually take that field on September 9th and beyond.
David, great stuff. Thank you for coming on, my man.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
There it goes. David Lombardi, The Athletic, right here on Willard and Dibbs. Steiny and Goo brought that to our attention earlier. Manti Te'o on Good Morning Football on NFL Network.
I think for the past 5 to 10 years, we've got so accustomed to the San Francisco 49ers walking around not only the NFC West, but the NFL in general as these big bullies. You watch Trent Williams and Deebo Samuel coming out of the locker room with that bump box, and you watch them get into that scuffle in the pregame, and you watch their dominant defense and the run game. We got so accustomed to that. I flipped on the TV and watched their past 2 preseason games when their starters played. And I just see an emotionally drained team.
Okay, you buy any of that?
No. No. He's judging it based off of preseason games. So I see off their last 2 preseason games a team that is emotionally drained. Well, 2 games ago, you had Brock Purdy play, but no George Kittle, no Deebo. Nick Bosa hasn't played at all. Trent's not been around. Brandon Ayuk is in sweatpants. So if you want to talk about an emotionally drained team, I don't think that it's fair to look at a preseason game tape and judge what they're going to be based off of that. So, yeah, is he playing the percentages? And he basically said, without saying it, Super Bowl hangover. And he didn't use that term, but that's what the Super Bowl hangover to me is all about. It's a team that comes back and they are emotionally drained and they don't have the same effort level. Maybe the roster isn't as good. Most guys are a year older and you have a little bit of a letdown. That to me is what he was saying, but if you want to say that, you got to wait until the actual regular season starts. For me, it's really mostly meaningless to make that judgment off of preseason football.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you actually assess that. Again, same thing, faulty premise. 2 games ago, that was not, quote-unquote, their starters. I know it looks that way because you turn the TV on and Brock Purdy's on the field, had a few of his offensive linemen in front of him, had no receivers. Bottom line is, if you're sort of a casual 49er fan, all of the players you've heard of other than Brock Purdy didn't play. All of them. Like, there was no, you know, the guys you mentioned, there was no Fred. There was none of that. There was none of those guys out there in that game. But even if there were, you look at a game on TV and decide that you can assess the collective emotional state of the team and call it a negative. Why? Because the offense didn't look like it was in sync, which I would argue is all of preseason. You've watched some of these games. Nothing looks in sync.
Right.
Almost every game is 17-16. They all look like the NFC North games or the AFC North games. So, yeah, I just, like, I can't refute it, but I also can't buy that you can see that on TV. Like, what are you suggesting? Deebo Samuel came in from the offseason in the best shape that he's ever been in. And has been going, by all accounts, full bore in all of the practices. Does that sound like emotionally drained? Are they like they're not as motivated this year? Brock Purdy came in with 10 new pounds of extra muscle? I don't know.
I just don't really even know what that means. Yeah, like, it's a preseason game. I don't want them to be over the top with their emotions. It's a game that doesn't matter. Go out there, break a sweat, get your callus up. Like everyone talks about, David Lombardi talked about Trent Williams and football players need to get their callus, and I get that. Going out there and hitting and the soreness and getting over the soreness, that's really what preseason football is about. It's not about ramping up your emotions to the level 10 before the real games even start.
Join 95.7 The Game personalities at Harding Park Friday, September 6th for the Pettinelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament benefiting the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. Go to 95.7thegame.com to learn more. Presented by ATCO Pest Control, the Bay Area's local, family-owned pest control company. Your call is very welcome, 888-957-9570. We will keep going with Niners, however. Also coming up next, won't take long, I wrote a eulogy to the 2024 San Francisco Giants, and it would help me if I could share it and get it off of my chest.
Please do. I can't wait to hear it.
All right. That's next on Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
It's a great question.
Wow, that's a great question.
That's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
That'll never get old.
Buster only at the end. And that's a great question.
And it's a great event. The 2024 Red and Gold Summit is all set Wednesday, September 4th. Okay, Wednesday, September 4th. All you people need to come see us now because we want to come see you. That's what we do when we leave this building. We want to see you. We want to shake hands. We want to press the flesh. You got to come out to Fremont Wednesday, September 4th. We'll talk about the Niners. Come for the Niner takes. Stay for all the other stuff that comes with it. And then also, like, just stay again for the view off of the roof deck.
Ooh.
At Fremont Bank, 39150 Fremont Boulevard. We will be live 2 to 4, because that's how it works. Willard and Dibs, Willie and Dibby, 2 to 4. But that's, by the way, that's when you come get the good seats.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Come for that show and get the good seats. And then everybody shows up, Bonte and Joe and Steiny and Goo, 4 to 6, and we get you ready for another football season.
Can't wait.
And I hate to remind everybody this, there's still a football season and the Niners are still supposed to be good.
They should be.
Yeah.
Super Bowl or bust is what it is, Mark. And we'll get into that at the summit for sure.
Or try again. And by the way, it's free. Just come on out, join the fun, first come, first serve. So just show up like a crazy person. Just show up at the bank being like, let me in. And then we will. And then we'll have some fun, okay? It's that simple. We want to get back to the phone calls on the Niners and Brandon and Kyle and all of this stuff. But I wanted to share this. It's short. There's nothing special about it.
Is it scripted?
Yeah, I wrote this down. I wrote down some thoughts.
Because you normally work extemporaneous.
It's not like a script as much as it is sort of like when you see somebody win an award at a show and they've got like notes on a little piece of paper.
Okay.
It's kind of like that.
All right.
I just want to make sure I remember the things I want to say. It's very short.
Okay.
It's not like a big deal, but I want to get this off my chest. And I take no joy in this. No joy.
Well, there is no joy in Mudville.
That literally should be their motto.
No joy.
No joy.
What's that comedian's name?
Oh, Joe Coy.
Joe Coy.
Not Joe Coy.
Thank you. Not Joe Coy. No joy. Thank you.
Yeah.
I knew it was close, but I couldn't quite pull it out.
He's coming to Chase Center in about a month and a half.
And you're going to be there.
Oh, we're going to be there now.
Yeah.
We're going to be there now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you need a musical accompaniment?
I don't need it.
Something funereal?
I don't need it, but apparently it's been offered.
Oh, okay.
And I accepted it. Grandy, do you have something fun?
Yeah, just get going.
Okay, you want me to hear it?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to drag this out.
I'm
going
to take the podium. I am wearing black today. It's just a T-shirt.
I'll add in the crying noises from the...
No, please do, because... Dibs.
Okay.
This is a solemn occasion.
Man, my bad. I'll lay out.
We are here to lay to rest the 2024 San Francisco Giants. Now, I gave them a pronoun. Don't be offended, just because I called them he. I don't know why I think the Giants are a boy. I just do. The 2024 San Francisco Giants.
No.
He tried. He wanted to hit for power. He couldn't. He wanted to have the best rotation in baseball. He didn't. He wanted to have his dollars spent pay off. No cigar. He wanted to be interesting. He wasn't.
So sad.
But he tried. You know, the 2024 Giants, all he wanted was to come in second.
Just second.
He didn't. I mean, he hoped he'd at least come in third.
Didn't he get third?
He won't. You won't. The 2024 Giants wanted all these things. And he tried. But as Yoda once said, there is no try. Do or do not. And he did not.
Yoda's dead too.
Goodbye, 2024 Giants. I can only hope that the legacy you leave is that your offspring do not follow in your footsteps.
The Giants are survived by the 2025 Giants and the 2026 Giants, who are both not with us today, but they will be soon. Rest in peace, 2024 Giants.
Everybody, the exits are right over here. We'll be having some snacks over at Grandy's house later on this afternoon.
Beers.
Yeah, I think he bought some grapes and a charcuterie board. The address is on a little envelope on the way out the door. We would cordially hope to see you all there. Thank you for coming to... honor the 2024 San Francisco Giants.
Man. The pronoun was he, but they are not him. They were he.
They were.
Yeah, man. I guess now would not be the right time to mention that the math is still there. Now that we've laid that season to rest.
No, now would be the right time to say San Francisco Giants.
Nobody like us. Nobody like us. I just 66 and 66.
Oh, God. Just so, listen. The other I sent this out on social media and I'm like, it's over, folks. And predictably, three quarters of the responses are like, dude, it'd been over and you just didn't know. And I know that. I know that. Like, Captain Optimism over here, and I've got like two or three other friends out there who sort of look at the world through the same lens, and they're huge Giants fans, and all of us, like, nobody, separate from one another, nobody knew this. I got the same text 5 times Friday night.
Friday night.
Here lies the 2024 San Francisco Giants. Nail, coffin, come on, people now, smile on your brother, everybody get together. That nail got driven in Friday night with a 5-1 lead late in the game and 6 consecutive hits while Bob Melvin watched Rodgers sit out there and fry against a team that hasn't gotten a hit since Reagan was in office.
Second term. Fangraphs has him at 2.9%. So there is a pulse. I mean, you're pulling the plug on Grandpa, but
here lies Fangraphs.
2.9.
It was a good website. Yeah.
Cubs are at 2.5. The Cardinals are at 3.4.
Oh, the Cardinals passed them.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got the Marlins, Nationals, and Rockies, the only ones at zero.
Cardinals caught the Giants. They're both 5 behind the Braves, but they're 6 behind in the loss column. 30 games to go. You and I did the math.
Yeah, we did.
Giants could go 20-10. Spoiler alert, they won't.
Okay. Yeah.
They could go 20-10.
86-76.
And the Braves would still need a losing record over their final 32 because they've got more games left.
Yeah.
In order for the Giants to catch them. And by the way,
they'd have to go 15-17.
Because the Giants needed not just catch them, but pass them, because that stupid 3 out of 4 that Jorge Soler came in and won for the Braves a couple of weeks ago means the Braves have the tiebreaker. Oh, by the way, that also leaves out the Mets.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals and Cubs who have drawn even with the here lies the 2024 San Francisco Giants.
Yes.
Dun 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 dun. Monday night is 2 weeks from today.
Can't wait. And as we are laying this season to rest, are we also ushering Farhan Zaidi out the door?
Well, I know everybody, you know, I say everybody. I know everybody in the fan base, just about everybody wants that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know. I don't know if they know yet. I think that this is one of those situations where there's some intricacies to it. What he did at the deadline, I know, for instance, Grandy thinks it's laughable, but when I look at that, I go, I know we fans didn't like it. I bet the owner did. He saved him a ton of money.
Absolutely.
And so does that lead to a firing? Put it this way. And I sort of hesitate to do this because this isn't my job. I'm not telling you what to do with your money. I already just said what I would do with mine. I told you about 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, even longer.
I only have money in August and September for a pennant race. So I'm not attending any more Giants games this year. I think each of you make that choice, and I think the choice you make
matters.
Sends a message.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that ownership will be watching how engaged the Giants fan base is the rest of the way. You know, there'll be some things that come out of this. Ramos is a player. Fitzgerald, that's a player. You know, you've got Jung-Hoo Lee will be back. There's some things going on out there that you can be like, okay, I dig that for the lineup next year or whatnot. Working on an extension with Matt Chapman, I think he, by and large, got a pretty good Q rating. So there's all of that, but that's not enough. That's not enough. This needed to be better than that.
Yeah.
So and it wasn't.
Nope. And it has not. And attendance is up. It's up a little bit, but is it up so much that you feel like this team has turned the corner?
But how was it in August? Do you have that, or do you just have the overall?
I just have the overall. But I wonder how it was in August.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of it is dependent on the opponent. And, you know, some of the series they had, like the White Sox, is probably not a big-time sexy team that's going to draw a lot. But I'll see if I can punch that up for you to see if there was a noticeable dip over the course of August. I'm looking here in the White Sox, 28, 28, and 29. So that was not a good series. Atlanta, down a little bit. Mm-hmm. They didn't draw more than 30,400 in one of the games. Detroit, they drew 40,000 twice on the weekend.
That was a weekend. Yeah,
yep, that was a weekend.
And the weather was beautiful.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was August. So, you know, in August, it was down a little bit. Okay. Down a little bit. Okay. But, and I wonder how it's going to be with Miami and Arizona coming. The next homestand, you got Miami and Arizona. Then you've got Milwaukee and the Padres and St. Louis. These are not sexy opponents down the stretch.
I know everybody out there wants just a pound of Farhan flesh. I totally understand that. I bet every one of you, if you really stopped and went emotionless for a second and thought about this from a real sort of a space, you realize that the problems are bigger than just that. The problems are bigger than just that.
Yeah.
It goes into morale. It goes into approach. It goes to ownership. It goes to even the manager. Let's be real now. A bad year for Bob Melvin.
No doubt.
I'm not off of him. I'm not done with him. I don't think he's, you know, I'm not going to make that kind of a judgment based on just 130 games. But I will say that there's been a bad first impression for Bob Melvin. So this goes to the whole way that the Giants even approach what they're doing, from the draft to free agency to how they handle player personnel, their minor league system, which is cratered again. Sure, Farhan's the president of baseball operations, and I'm talking about baseball operations. But there are issues at the ownership level. There are issues now because of morale of the organization at every level. And now we also have a manager who's 1 year in that people were, I don't know if excited about, but trusting in him.
Sure.
And
I think they're excited about it.
Yeah, there's been some damage there.
Yeah.
There's been some damage there.
And, I mean, the team is not unlike last year's team or the team before that when you look at just the record and the overall impact on the community. People were excited about this team in April and May and June and even into July. And, you know, Grandy, I think, is reflective of a lot of Giants fans. When you get to the trade deadline and you do nothing to make your team better, you actually, you know, make some sales to save your team some money.
You save money.
Yeah. Right. And then you come out and say, we have the best rotation in baseball. and that's a comment that does not ring as true as it did when Blake Snell threw a no-hitter. And now Robbie Ray is heading to the IL, it looks like.
Maybe.
With, you know, a little bit of an injury. And
yeah.
So things have gone sideways, and then they've gone south. And every time you feel like you're ready to put some faith in this team, they win four in a row, and they come out and they lose to the White Sox, and then you can't win a series in Seattle against a team that can't hit, and it feels like you're right back to where you were.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of spinning wheels.
Yep.
It's a lot of spinning wheels. And yes, everybody who wants to either say that I was kind of late to the party this year or late to the party overall, I've acknowledged that. I'll take my L on that. It'll be interesting to see how they rework this. And I'll just be straight with everybody. My confidence is low. My confidence is low because my confidence in this ownership is low. I don't trust them. I don't trust them. And so, whether it's that you want a new president of baseball operations, or does that not excite you either? Because if you do get a new president of baseball operations, the people hiring that person are the same people who oversaw getting to this point.
Yeah.
And have extended the president who has reached a pretty high point of unpopularity. So anyway.
It's tough.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well,
for the memories.
It's just, you know, thanks.
Thanks.
I'm a Giants fan.
Thanks for the lack of memories.
Well, it's like you say with the Niners, it's Super Bowl or try again. And with the Giants, it's just try again.
Right. Well, yeah. Like, I mean, that's inherent.
Right.
I mean,
are you going to try again the same way that you've been trying it for the past 6 years with Farhan Zaidi?
Well,
because it doesn't feel like outside of the one fantastic, phenomenal year you had. It's been a lot of this. Players in, players out. You win three, you lose two. You lose three, you win two. If I went through the last 3 years, record and run differential, and I did this about a week ago, they're like a minus 40 in run differential over the last 3 years combined, and like three games below 500.
Yeah, they're right at 500.
It's just, they are the epitome of mediocre, And, I mean, boring might be too strong, but they're not that exciting.
I don't think boring is too strong at all.
Yeah.
I don't think boring is too strong at all. I guess I'd ask, you know, like, okay, so there's the Farhan Zaidi thing, and then if that were to happen, there'll be this celebration amongst Giants fans, and I'd be like, and then what?
Right.
Like, you say... you know, do you want something done differently? I almost don't even know how to answer that. What is it that that's what I mean by this is a big project. There's no overnight fix here.
Right.
There's no overnight fix. You can't just be like, well, I want to do it this way now. What does that mean? What does that mean? You're going to go throw even more money at the problem and have more free agents that like, what are you going to do? Oh, we're going to get Juan Soto. No, you're not.
Right.
No, you're not.
That's the thing. So do you, if you want to do like dramatic things, if you want to be dramatic about it, then we talk about changing the ballpark, the dimensions of the ballpark, because hitters don't want to come hit here because it's very difficult to do what you want to do as a hitter. And maybe this is just the emotions for me talking, but every time I put on Sports Center or whatever highlight show, MLB, and you see number 99 stepping up in Yankee Stadium, and up, two homers today, another homer, two more homers, yep. And I know he was never going to come here.
Correct.
And I get that, but it was the flirtation and the teasing of, ooh, the Giants are in on blah, blah, blah. But when I watch Aaron Judge hitting homer after homer after homer, it makes me think, why can't we have some of that? Like, why can't we have one of those?
Yeah.
Somebody like Barry Bonds. That was fun.
Oh, God.
Even though you knew that he was enhanced, it still was really fun.
I'm raising my hand for enhancements right now.
Totally.
Everybody, if that's what it takes, go enhance yourself so that we can have some fun over at the ballpark. I'm kidding, sort of. But no, I'm with you completely. And I don't want them to become gun-shy. I don't want them to be like, oh, Eeyore complex, yeah. Where it's like, we're never going to get anyone. Go have your conversation with Juan Soto. Go do it. But you're not going to get him. You're not going to get a left-handed power hitter to come to this ballpark. And, it, like, try something crazy. What's Juan going to get? What's he going to get?
Probably $400 million.
Oh, God, he's going to get way more than that, don't you think?
I mean, how many years? 10 year, $400 million?
Dude, what is Juan? 26? 27? Is he even that?
Let's say he gets $1 billion.
Juan Soto is 25.
25, okay.
He's 25 years
old. 12 years and $800 million. He's getting $70 million a year on the average.
Well, what did Shohei get? But Shohei's
was 700 million, right?
No, his was 700.
Okay,
It's 70 million a year, but it's like $12 a year this year,
right?
And then he gets it in, you know, 2080 or something like that. Anyway, when those offers start to come together, blow it out of the water. Blow it out of the water. If that's what you really want, like you. The Giants keep playing this game of like, let's get into a conversation with power hitter and give him an offer that we feel is commensurate with the market. Sorry, not going to work. And if you don't want to blow it out of the water, then don't get involved.
Right.
So if he's going to make $600 million, go offer him $800.
They won't.
Well, then don't.
Right.
Then don't, because he's a freaking Yankee. And I don't think there's any way in hell he's leaving there the same way that Aaron Judge didn't. But if you want to beat the Yankees, I mean, beat the Yankees. Beat them. Well, we offered $600 also. That's not the same offer.
Yeah.
From California taxes to right center field being 800 feet, that's a no. From him, dog.
Completely.
Yeah.
That's enough for me, dog.
Speaking of dogs, Gene in Oakland is on the line. Gene, stay right where you are. We'll come to you next. We'll get back to the San Francisco 49ers. Look, a lot of stuff to say with the Niners, but I will briefly reiterate my point that at 2 o'clock today, I'm, quote, out on Brandon Ayuk, because I am. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. It's Willard and Dibs.
Good dog, yeah.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality.
You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.